that lives in our soul. Father, I thank you tonight for the hope that lives in our soul. I pray you give me the words of wisdom and the power to minister to every individual in this city, particularly the people that are in this congregation tonight, that every one of us are ready for the coming of the Messiah, and that we live full of that dream and hope every day of our life. In Jesus' name, praise God. Now, this is a message I started a couple of weeks ago and only got to the sixth frame, and I'm going to go back there and pick up. Obviously, I mentioned to those that were here last Wednesday night, I realized that two different messages were sort of dovetailing. They were woven together, Mother's Day and this message. And so in the process of all that's going on, God is just, he's just absolutely blowing my mind. You want to go ahead and turn the platform lights off? And this is sort of some of the picture that we're seeing right now. And that is all the way back to Adam and Eve. This whole world here is waiting for the adoption, the final day of mankind. You're seeing the front of it, you're seeing the center of it, and you're feeling the impact of it every day you live. Every day you get up and you know you've got your name scrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life, there ought to be a thread somewhere inside you that says, Jesus, I'm so thankful you found me. I'm so thankful that I have a place to go to have my mind washed regularly and faithfully by the Word. So tonight, we remember the cross and we remember the empty tomb. And we remember that this is where we're headed. I don't know when that day. No man knows the day nor the hour. But one thing we do know, we've got the earnest of our inheritance. Every time you talk in tongues, you understand one thing. Nobody could give you that Holy Spirit except the one that's about to come get the church. I think we ought to praise him again. Father, I love it. I love the idea that you have given us the privilege of being living letters to a world that's hurting, that's jeopardized mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm asking you, God, to cause us to be greater lights than we've ever been in Jesus' name. Now, going back to Adam and Eve, we want to look at this. God is concerned with one entity here. That's you. Did you get it? He is concerned about you. With everything going on, it would be easy to get distracted and think, God, you ought to focus your attention over in Italy. God, you ought to focus. No, no, no. He has got you. That's every day you wake up, he's interested in you. He is a God that's everywhere, but he's focused his attention on each human being. It is amazing to me in the wonder of the telephones and all of that. How many of you remember when you used to have a party line? And how many of you listened in? I was scared of that. It was fun. My aunt and them had party lines, and we'd sneak in the other room and see if anybody was on the phone, and oh, how they could talk. Now, at that time, I didn't know it was gossip. I thought it was truth. But man, they talked about stuff. But it just fascinates me that one pole gets your signal, my signal, everybody else's signal, and it comes down one antenna. That's just mind-blowing to this guy until I think of Jesus. He hears your prayer and he recognizes your voice. He hears my prayer, recognizes my voice. And if you call him on the same time that I call on him and you have a different need than I have, he can differentiate the difference and expend himself in a phenomenal way. with wisdom that he don't have to come up with. It's just automatic. He is interested in you. And he's got your number. I'll never forget, he gave me several years ago, I did more regularly the hospital chaplaincy work, and they give us a card, and they it tells the date of birth, and it don't take long to figure out how old they are. And there was an elderly gentleman, and he was about 88, I believe he was, and I went into his room, and I, of course, read his name off, and he was surprised because he didn't know my name. And I said, I'm in here to visit. Your number's up. He said, what? I said, your number is up. Really? I said, yes. Your number's up for a blessing. I'm here to pray a prayer of faith. Oh, thank God, he said. Your number is up. God is here tonight to give you wisdom that's going to leave a trail for kids and family and friends. It's going to make a mark in this earth. Your trail, your light is going to make a dynamic difference. Not in one, in many. So tonight, knowing that God is interested in you, but he is as interested in the beggar out yonder tonight that he, as he is us. And there is no difference. Those who claim the opportunity and take advantage of the opportunity. There are people that have the opportunity to be at the house of God, and there are people that take advantage and don't. And his mercies are new every day. All you got to do is do what the song says, reach out and touch the Lord, and he'll do it. He is abundant. Now, life is serious and designed to be wonderfully victorious. I can't think of anything greater with all power in heaven and earth to never have to wonder if you're going to overcome. Now, wouldn't it be horrible to have all the money in the world and not have any place to spend it? Nothing left to buy and stacks of it. Can you imagine just for a minute that they tell you, you can go to any store you want to and we're going to cash you out, and you get there and the shelves are empty. The cars are all gone. No airplanes for me. I can't imagine a worse day than that.
I'd hate to think that heaven's shelves were empty. I promise you tonight, he is well equipped to handle transforming your mind to meet the occasion. I wish somebody cried out to him, God, transform my mind. Transform my thought patterns. Transform everything about me so I am ready to meet. Oh, my Lord and my God, wonderfully victorious. Learning to treat life as it should be treated is the key to survival in every sphere of life. If you remember, I started this message out by saying to you that after this message is over, you're going to pray better prayers, deeper prayers, prayers that are unforgettable, because the appetite is going to grasp hold of things, and you're going to take advantage of prayer rooms. Like, it's not going to be like, oh my God, I got to go pray. It's going to be like, man, I'm fixing to go to the house of prayer, and I am going to touch the hem of his garment, because I know if my spirit can touch his spirit, I am going to have virtue that's going to transform my mind and transform my steps and transform my hands and transform me into an energy that is a blessing to everybody. I think we ought to thank him for that. God, I thank you just for the thought the idea that I'm sitting in a place right now where the thought of me being greater than I am, and I'm pretty good right now, but to be greater. And I promise you, you have not reached the top stairs of what God's intent for your life is. Learning to treat life as it should be treated. God is the owner. We've talked about that two or three times over the last 2 months. And we always remember the importance of that. He owns everything. We did not make anything that was made. We have taken some of the stuff He's made and made some things we enjoy with it. But He's made everything we have access to, including our voice. We can use it like we want to, but I can cry out to the Lord with my voice, and if there's a spirit of hunger in that tongue, I can tell you His response is going to be, it's my boy in whom I am well pleased, and I am going to give him power to trample. Going to give him power. We are laborers together with him, working on our life, the ones we answer for. I can't answer for anybody else. I can answer for how I respond to him. I can answer for what I do for others, but I can't answer for what they do with him, and I can't answer for what they do with me. I can respond to it. I can lose my spot in line by responding negatively. I don't want to lose my place in the line of blessing and empowerment because I am going to let somebody get my goat. Where did that come from? Does anybody think they know what that means? What does it mean, brother? Talk louder, man. The people in cheap seats can't hear you. I knew I'd learn something at church. It makes good sense. Now nobody's going to get my goat because I don't have one. But I think we know the carryover to that. Anything that could help us instead of destroy us.
Get our goat. Man, I've heard that all my life. Never even heard about the horse and the goat. Thank you. None of us own ourselves. You can't tell how tomorrow's going to turn out. You're not going to create tonight even. But you can respond in an affirmative measure that all things are possible to them that believe. And I believe that He made the heavens and the earth. And I believe He made me. And He didn't make them to dominate me. He made me to overcome them. We have been privileged to help God in the process of now and forever. We cannot guarantee our kids' passage to heaven, but we can guarantee they have the opportunity. I cannot guarantee anybody's passage to heaven, but I can assure us this. I am going to preach His blood red and pure, and it can cleanse you from any sin. And I'm going to preach His wisdom greater than any thought you've ever had, and it can elevate life to His magnificent level of deity. I am going to preach to you today that you can help anybody if you care to do so. And I want to do it because I want my place in line. He said, if you'll bless them, I'll bless you. And if you'll give to them, I'll give to you. And if you'll forgive them, I'll forgive you. And I want to do it. I wish somebody'd cry out, God, don't quit talking to me. This is not a trial run. You're not going to have another life to do this with.
I am watching so many people drive so recklessly and drive their tongue so recklessly and carelessly. They need me. They need me to preach to them, whether I do right or not. They need me to preach to them. I'm telling you, what we say is the forecast of our future. It is important that we guard our tongue. That's what the book says. And not let corrupt communication come out of our mouth. I am watching people that hear somebody even suggest something, and they'll go around and act like it's the total truth. Say, man, I'll tell you what I heard recently, and they'll just say it. They don't have one vindicator. They don't have one person that backed it up. They just say it. If it's on the news, for sure it's got to be true. And if a guy's been to high-level college, he's definitely in the know. Don't you get mixed up in that stuff. There's only one that knows that's perfect light, and that is that Bible that you carry under your arm, and that Bible that's hid somewhere in your house. Get it out and read it every day, and because in it are the real issues of life and the real victories of life. And I want to tell you, he's the one that tells about a heaven and a home. He's the one that tells about a courage and a comfort. He is the one that tells about overcoming and forgiveness. He alone is God. And I want him to talk to us tonight and tell us, put his finger on my nose and tell me, sir, you better straighten up, walk right, talk right, live godly, live holy, walk holy, think holy. Oh, I wish we'd pray for our nation right now that God would give us to them in a form of power. God, transform every one of us. That when we walk the streets of this city tomorrow, that our kids say, my, something's going on in daddy's life. Something going on in mama's life. They're getting stronger every day with this business of following the king and taking orders from the king and walking in the activity of the king. He is the king of kings and the lord of lords, and he's not changing. And so it's going to be us that have to abdicate our throne and go serve him. We remember many events and things, but the only lasting thing is us. What we become through all that occurs in and around us, I've got to answer for. I can't answer for people down the street. People take one Pentecostal that's been ignorant and judge you by that ignorant person. It's amazing. We got to learn how to treat that person. I hear people all the time say, boy, I've heard of you Pentecostals. I say, which one? I'd like to introduce some of them to some of you so they know what real apostolics are like. I'd like for them to understand that everybody that's Baptist isn't stupid. There's some Pentecostals that need to know that. Everybody that's a Catholic is not dumb. They were trained for years to be that. I tell some of our preachers, I said, at least they confess every week. Some of you preachers don't get a chance. However, Christ made himself responsible. I can't thank him enough. I tell you, I stood out there a couple of days ago, maybe it was Sunday afternoon, just looking where we're going to put that Baptist. And I got to thinking, while we're building it, big old tears started rolling down my cheeks. And I thought, man, what a thrill it really is to be baptized and it means something. I said, be baptized and it means something. Amen. I'm seeing a lot of people that don't change one thing about them. I don't want to forget what it was like to be a sinner and then to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And it means that the blood of the Lamb, ought to praise him again and get that right back up where it belongs. It means something to get baptized in the name of Jesus. And we ought to tell our kids almost every month at least, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. That's why I believe I'm going to heaven. It's because I have his blood, his name in my brain. And I'm not perfect, but bless God, he keeps cleansing me. I could not hold back the tears to think that right shortly we're going to have a new place. And there was a lady talking to me about it just recently, and she's wanting to get together and wants to find out, and she just couldn't wait. So she wanted to have a meeting, and then she just couldn't stop, and she just pressed on through, sort of reminded me of the lady who touched the hem of his garment. And I told her, and she said, my goodness, it makes great sense. What a name. What a name. And thank God that he made himself responsible so that if we call on and have faith or depend on him. Christ demonstrated this in the Gospels. Paul in his letters to the churches, that if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate. You were born of another world, and not heirs or sons. You've got to have the name to be an heir. You've got to have the bloodline, the DNA. It's in the blood, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. When you got baptized in Jesus' name, you didn't get baptized into a United Pentecostal church. You got baptized into the authority that controls the universe. And that's why I'm telling you that you've got power over every demon in hell, because that authority reaches down to when you use that name, every devil trembles. When you use that name by faith and you're living in a relationship with the Master of Life, I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world that can stop that church. I'm here to tell somebody, you're going to be so happy you came, and you're going to wear that prayer closet out. God, talk to me as a son. Whatever you got to say, say it. If I haven't sent it to you and you want it, I'll send it to you. One of the coolest things, I really was going to play it here, but one of the characters were dressed a little, well, quite immodestly, but it was on the news, and I've sent it to some married couples that's got some trouble, and if you know any married couples that have any trouble, you sure want me to send it to you, because it's from a world that has some knowledge about love. Before this happened, it was a young couple that was about to have a baby, and they were always bickering and fussing. And they said, you know what? If we're going to have a baby, we can't raise that kid in this kind of home. Now, that's a God moment right there for me. People that are in that bad a shape all of a sudden have presence of a mind that our kid can't handle that kind of lifestyle. Well, that part was what woke me up to the whole thing. But then the man confessed that a few days before he had gone to a real close friend of his, and he said, you know what? I'm so used to being me, I don't know what it would be like to be around me. Would you tell me what it's like to be you and be around me? and I'm just going to use a fictitious name, okay? Well, he said, well, Rodney, I'll tell you what. I'm hesitant to tell you this, but since you ask, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I'm embarrassed to be around you. He said, the way you talk to your wife in public embarrasses me. The way you talk to your wife in public. And he said, I was mad at first. And he said, I remembered I'd ask him to tell me. And he said, then I sort of got thankful. And I thought, you know what? If that's the way I am, I need to make a change. And so, call me and I'll give you the rest of the story. Text me, I mean, because I can't do anything but text it. If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Somebody say, all are partakers. Then are ye bastards and not sons. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Principle applies in a local assembly or the body of Christ. This is a principle. It's a principle of God. It is a God idea. And this is sort of what made these two messages come together, was that when I came to Mother's Day, and you remember last Wednesday night, if you were here, we talked about that the church is the mother of Jerusalem, according to Galatians. And we talked about the relative importance of a mother being disciplined. And I'm going to say this tonight, and this is not to bring reproach on anybody, but I can remember when mothers seldom worked. The Bible says that the mother is the keeper of the home. The daddy is the provider of the home. Now that's in our Bible. That's straight out of the Bible. And part of putting ladies in the workforce has put them in a place of having to think and act and behave in leadership roles. And perversion don't start with same-sex marriage. Perversion starts when we twist truth to fit the economy of our own mind. I know this is... Stop. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. We owe it to ourselves to get in line for all that He has promised. Now, when we put ladies in the workforce to have to operate in the place of men, they are going to behave like men. I'm here to tell you that if you have to work, please do it. But do it with the careful consideration that I am right at the edge and could jump over the boundary of who I am supposed to be. Femininity is a God-given thing. Masculinity is a God-given thing. We are not at liberty to change the practice of God's word, because the practice is what produces the promise. As much as lieth within you, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I sound like a foreigner right now, but I grew up in this kind of teaching. I have been very careful for us to get to this place until you know you can trust me to understand I'm not here to abuse one human. I think if anybody knows me, you do. And that is, I'm not here to hurt anybody's home or head. He got his head bruised, and I'm not bruising yours. But I am not going to not preach truth. We have got to get to the place of understanding that there is no man that can give to these kids what a mother can give. I'm not there. Mothers are absolutely some of the most tenacious people in the world. They are some of the most powerful people in the world. And they are well equipped to keep that home. And the church is likened unto the mother. Without the father, without the husband, they are left weak emotionally. And I'm watching the church without the supervision. I'm taking this as quick as I can to where it really needs to be. Without the supervision of the Father, or Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who has all authority and power. When Daddy used to say something in our house, that's the way the whole house operated. You know I'm telling you the truth. That's what made America strong. Everybody knew their place. That didn't mean that ladies didn't do some work. That didn't mean that ladies didn't do some, but it was not the call of their life. They knew what their real role was. And that is, when that baby is hurting, I am going to go to that baby and I am going to cradle it in my arms. And I'm not going to be so tired by working that I don't have time to talk to my kids. This is what's holy, and this is what's righteous, and this is what's glorious, and this is the way the word works. And the daddy provides the strength. My mother used to say to me, she said, "Son, I'm just going to have to tell you daddy when he gets home." And I said, "Mama, please don't. Let me get it now." Because mother couldn't hit us very hard. And then I had somebody to help me a whole lot one day. And he said, "I'll tell you what, when your daddy gets after you," he said, "just get real close to him, because it's hard to hit when you're real close." And I tried it and it worked. Now, Dad could hit pretty hard close, so I didn't want any of it. Okay? The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm putting a whole lot into us tonight. But if you'll catch on part of it and not let the enemy mess your mind up, let me tell you something. We are living in a generation where we are so careless with our words. I'm going to hit you in the you know what. What did you think of? We have interrupted life with hurrying it up. I'm going to knock your you know what. What? He said, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." Are thinking, and some of our school teachers will tell you, kids are thinking school's supposed to be fun, because mother and dad ask them when they come home from school, "Did you have fun today?" What? Do you really want a pastor, or do you just want some preacher? If you've got to wait that long, you're way late, sweetheart. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be a hireling. This is not going to come down on my shoulders on Judgment Day. I'm going to preach it exactly like He wants you to live it. Because He has made you the center of His heartbeat. Every drop of blood was designed to cleanse you, 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 you. I'm telling you, every wisdom of heaven was designed to empower you. You can tell me thank you later, but
I'm going to be here. I promise you, I am here for one reason, and I am committed. I've stayed here 35 years, and some days it didn't feel like I wanted to. But I promise you, I care about every last one of you, plus your kids and plus your neighbors and plus some of them you hadn't brought yet. I am here to get you out of hell now and hell later. I am here to put you into the power of the blood, the power of the name, the power of the Holy Ghost, and help you operate in a level where that everything, all things are possible. I'm telling you, every day you get up, you don't feel damaged in your brain. You don't feel damaged in your heart. You don't feel like hell has a chance. I'm here to preach to you that you can pray your way through anything, and you can believe your way through up to everything. God is here tonight, and you are the attention of His eye. I wish you'd pray for one another right now. God, give my brother and sister the grace. The teaching, the Spirit. It's pretty easy for us to look across the street at some of the situations in various what we call religious settings and wish God would get a hold of them. And sometimes I wonder if God's not thinking, why don't you let me get a hold of you? Why don't you let me put you over my knee and give you three or four good little spats? Here's what the book said. This is the book of truth. The rod and the reproof. What? Now, if that does that for our children, what does the voice and the power of the pulpit supposed to do? Have you read what the obligation for a preacher is and what your obligation as a brother and sister in the body of Christ is? Exhort one another. Reprove one another. And rebuke one another. Now, he don't make any equivocation about that, but he does say something about you getting on the phone and talking about your brother. Now, why we can hear that when somebody says something bad about us and can't hear it when we talk about them? This ain't going over real good. In my mind, I thought it was going to really be great. My mind, I'm thinking, man, boy, when we come out of the gate tonight, there ain't a horse in the world's got a chance to outrun us. When we come out of the gate out of this service tonight, there's not a demon in the world that can keep up with us. There's not anybody in the world, nothing in the world that can catch us and make us have a bad night, because we're going to outrun everything. The blood, the word, the name, the Holy Ghost is on your side. He's not reprimanding you to make you feel miserable. He's reprimanding you to get rid of those doubts and fears about His absoluteness. We can't take things in our own hands and expect Him to have to provide the promise for what He said if we would abide in Him. I don't want God to leave me alone. I wish somebody would just tell Him in your own way, in a prayer right now, God, don't you ever stop bothering me. Don't you ever have a preacher quit preaching because he's afraid of what I'll think and he's afraid of what I'll act like. I mean, I wish we'd talk to him for a minute or two. This is time to get your heart tuned in. I'm telling you, this, you don't know when your last day is. No man knows the day nor the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. I want him to talk to me every day. I want him as a pastor. I want him to tell me what I need to say to us so we can absolutely be free from anything that would entangle us in this world. Now here's what Proverbs 29 and 17 says, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Now I'm just going to tell you, if we ever don't have a church in town that will correct us and chastise us and remind us of who we're supposed to be, we're sunk. They can say all they want to about judgmentalism. And you listen to me. You listen to me. That book said, are there not men in the church that can judge matters among you? It sounds good to say that God don't want us judging each other, but he judged you the day that you got under conviction. And the preaching of the word judged you when you were living in immoralities and other things. The word judged you. And then he tells us, bring forth righteous judgment. That book teaches judgment. Don't you let people mess you children up and say, well, I'll tell you, they're all judgmental. Now, I will say this. There have been people that have tried to play the judge, God, and they've missed it. And they weren't led by the Holy Ghost. They looked down their nose with the pride of life and looked at people and said, you're not as good as us. They didn't say those words. But that was the spirit that the people heard. That's what I was talking about four Wednesday nights ago when I told you we've been a little bit mean. We're not giving up old time religion. But we are going to learn it the way he taught it. And that is, if this spirit be in you, that spirit will transform your life. Preachers trying to take shortcuts thought they could cause people to live holy by making them do this and making them do that and look holy. And then we wound up with a lot of bitterness because somebody got by with a skirt that was a little short, and somebody got by with culottes and they were so close to pants, and they got by with some of y'all remember. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not a good preacher, but I am a tough preacher, because I'm going to fight hell for you. I am not going to let you go out yonder and be absorbed into a world unless that's what you want. I can't force you. I'm never going to hate you. You can quit this church and count on it. Pastor Meyer has already proven through the city. People have quit me, made fun of me, laughed at me, talked about me, and I promise you, I'm not going to turn my back on you. He didn't turn his back on me at my worst, and I'm not turning my back on anybody in this city. I am here to preach what thus saith the Lord, and because he's the one that's going to open the graveyard, he's the one that's going to read out of the book, he's the one that's going to declare us forever righteous, and I want his approval now. So, and I want it for you, because you are the Adam and the Eve of his life. And I put them up there for purpose, because there's a man and a lady, and they have their own role to fill, and we've got to be careful. Now, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You have got churches by the dozens that are never making the word fit life. They just tell, it's like telling stories about things and entertaining people. Let me tell you what a real preacher is what Jesus and John did. Get that book of John out. Get that Old Testament out and see how God talked to those people. And it was always in love. God never spoke to them without love. But he put his finger on the nose of the preacher, and he put his finger on the nose of a generation, and he told Lot's wife, don't you look back, and she did, and she's gone. How many times do we have to see it to understand he don't change? Ladies and gentlemen, I am here. This guy here loves you from your kids to your grandkids and to up to the grandma and grandpa. I am here to protect you from hell and Satan's devices. I'm here to preach to us tonight and to try to teach us that book says that mothers and daddies are to treat their kids that way. And then he says the church is the mother of all. And he said, pastors, don't you back up. Pastors and members of the body are to help. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's foolish to think we can make it in life on our own. We need some preaching. We need some apostolic preaching now, not just about what we like. We need preaching that we may not like. How many of you has got so much power right now that you don't need any more preaching?
How many of you know anybody that's got so much authority over every demon and every power of hell, they don't need one bit of preaching? And why are they not at the house of God tonight? You came because you're hungry. You came because you want to fit the plan. And here, and God says, I've got you in mind, and I want you to know. But he's not quick to kill anybody. Somebody say, not quick to kill anybody. He's let us get by with something here, there, and yonder. He's let us do things on our own, and we've let our kids do a few things. And I hope to God nobody goes home tonight and says, well, I've got to wreck the world to get things straight. He said, in your patience, you possess your soul. You let the seed grow in your life. You let the word grow. Pray over the things we've talked about tonight. The Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Somebody told me one time, I said, well, Brother Mark, I'll tell you what, I prayed about it. I don't feel one conviction over drinking. What? You don't ever feel conviction until you know knowledge. Can you imagine a jack? Some of you men remember those old jacks. You push down on the lever, click. You lift it up real easy, and you jack it up, click. Those are convictions. Some people get jacked up and never get a conviction. They fall right back to where they were. That's how God showed it to me years ago. If you don't have places to hold you after you've been lifted up in the Spirit, those are convictions. Convictions are not a law. They are a place where we decide, Pastor, preach me up to here, and man, I'm 2 inches taller tonight. I'm going to develop a conviction. I'm not going to do anything that would lower my personal relationship with the Word. Am I making any sense at all? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here for y'all, and if I'm not helping you, I'm sure not making me feel better just to preach. Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, I put over here on the side, that is never to be ministered with anger. I can tell you, if you cut your kid open with a belt, and you hit them in anger, you will sow the worst bitterness into their life that you have ever dreamed. My dad never spanked me without hugging me after it was over. And it was a miserable hug, I'll tell you that. I didn't want to be hugged. And some of you are not going to want me to hug you after tonight. But I'm going to be there. I'm going to try. Because I realize I've said some things tonight that wasn't what you wanted to hear. But I'm telling you that I am here to put blessing in your life and in your posterity to have a future. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall what? Somebody say discipline. A church without discipline doesn't care. There it is, straight in the book. I'm not reading one thing into it. When you impose discipline, you save people from hell. And he uses the word their soul. We have not been wrong in imposing discipline. What we've been wrong in is looking at people that don't have discipline and acting like they don't have 2 cents of sense. And look down at other people because they have not been a part of it. But God is bringing this church full circle. And he's going to give us one more opportunity to be a people called out of the world. A people that are called out of the world. You're not called by the voice of the preacher. You're not called to do right because of the preacher saying it. You're called by the Holy Ghost. That Spirit of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. But the preacher is to preach the word and let the Spirit do the work. Are they verily for a few days chastened us
after their own pleasure. Listen to that. He knew what religion was a long time ago. They made us line up for their pleasure. And he for our profit. Somebody say for our profit. That we might be partakers of what? His holiness. Disciplined people are people that walk uprightly, eschew evil, and they love their neighbor as themselves. Anytime that living a life that's separated causes us to feel like we are something special, we start getting mad at God because he lets problems come our way. Was expecting us to realize what often happens. I've seen people that don't walk in discipline as far as what some of us think, and they never get mad at God. And then some people get sick or something happens and they go through a crisis and they're mad at God. Well, I don't know why God's letting this happen to me. That's why the preacher is supposed to preach with strength and authority and preach and teach with spiritual authority and understand many are the trials, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Somebody say it, that's the word, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. Those that are living and walking uprightly understand one thing, I may be in prison today, but I hadn't lost my song. I may be in the dungeon today, but I hadn't lost my victory because he is my victory. And he didn't go on vacation because of my location. He is mine and I am his. We are one with another. I am in him, a new creature. And he is in me, the power of God unto salvation. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hand. We do not have always to train and prepare for eternity. Now, somebody say, now is the acceptable time. Anything we put off today is a likely chance we'll put it off tomorrow. Tonight, while the pastor's preaching, we ought to make a commitment. God, whatever's in your word, I am going to adorn myself with it. I am going to walk in it. I am not going. Don't you leave me alone, God. Don't you let me ever get out there on my own and me do my own thinking and me try to make it all on my own. I need the blood. I need the preacher. I need the word. I need the spirit. I need a revival. I need reviving. I need help. I wish somebody would tell him, God, I can't make it with myself. I know what I'm like with myself alone. I need your word. I need your correction. I need your chastisement. I don't want to be a bastard. I don't want to be an illegitimate child. And I cannot encourage you enough. Be careful. Very careful. With your heart and your spirit. When we have talked about issues and important things. Train up a child in the way he should go. And that's what a church is to do. It's what we talked about last week. Mother trains up a children. And so when they are old, they won't depart from it. He that spareth the rod spoils the child. It's not right for them to think that there's no punishment for doing wrong. And I want to tell you what you're doing for your kids. Every time you rebuke them and every time you chastise them, you're reminding them at the end of this life, there is a judgment day. I cannot tell you. I have seen people preach like this and then the people go home and try to make it all work one night. Please don't do that. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Be patient, but just don't surrender the word. Don't let the devil thieve all that out of you. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes you feel like, man, I got to do this and I got to do that. No. Go slow. Let the Lord, he's going to do it. But just receive the seed. And then it will come out in a righteous form. And you'll be thrilled, and God will be thrilled, and you're going to have such awesome power as you pray about that stuff. Now, It is an error to think that others need reprimanding and us and ours don't. I know this is strong teaching, but it will last forever. It comes right directly out of the book. What we don't need is elastic teaching. Somebody said, the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It knows the very intent. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, I don't know why in the world I did that? Why I behaved like that? Somewhere back down there, we made up our mind we would live on our own and do our own thing. And when all of a sudden it bust out of us. Oh my God. I talked bad to my wife. I looked down on my wife. If God would have treated me like that, I'd be gone. We got to be careful. I wish you'd tell your neighbor, we got to be careful. We can't. Jesus waited 2,000 years since he's been here, since he came. He waited 4,000 years to come. He is a very careful God. Make your calling and election sure. It's not a social philosophy. It's a divine truth. It is a call from the highest level of life any human will ever know. We are going to have millions of millenniums to think it over. So I wouldn't make a quick decision tonight. I would prayerfully look at that book, prayerfully look at my life, and say to myself, sir, ma'am, you're teaching kids how to respond to preaching. I'm going to be careful because I don't want my kids to not have a preacher. I don't want my family to not have a preacher. And preachers, let me just say this to you. I don't think I say it all right. I just try to get it out there. I'll go home tonight and fight a million devils. I know what's waiting on me for the next several days. But I don't care how many I have to fight. You and those twins and that boy and that wife are worth it. You and those two girls and the kids are worth it. I don't care how many devils I have to fight. You guys mean so much. I'm willing to fight anything I got. Those two kids. Look at this parents over here. They even love me. You guys, this back row's loaded. Look, both back rows are loaded. And here's old Cohen joining us. Look at him smiling at the preacher. Gladly fight. Hail for you. I didn't come here to have fun. I'm here to fight the fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. I believe in everlasting life. If you don't think I do by now, you're probably not getting anything out of tonight. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe in demons. I believe in the blood. I believe in the word. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in righteous living. I believe in godly living. I believe in righteous thoughts. I am here for one reason. I am committed. When he called me to come here, he called me to give my life. And you, mama, you look at this preacher right here. I'm not going to let you down if I can help it. Every friend you got deserves the opportunity to walk into an apostolic church where there is true discipleship. If any man wants to be my disciple or my follower, he must deny himself and take up a cross and follow me. That is the first requisite to be a Christian. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to help you to be a Christian because I want you to win. And we stand right now. I want us to lift up hands to God and say, I surrender everything
everything about me. I am yours, Lord. You, the one that made me. You're the one that's coming to get me. And I surrender everything to you. I'm not here to do my thing. I am here to do your thing, because you've got a new heaven and a new earth. Now, would you pray for your neighbor, for your husband, for your wife? God, I'm going to strengthen my husband. I'm going to strengthen my wife. I'm not going to let the enemy beat them down and beat them up. I am here for them, and I am here for the pastor to preach, preach, preach. I'm going to bring friends to this house. Love them, pastor, but don't dare water down the word. I just sort of, sweetheart, would you come play a little music so y'all can make a commitment to God without anybody hearing you? I don't want anybody to hear what your commitment or response, but I want you to let God hear your response to his word tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy of a response. I can tell you, he has burned in my heart for days to minister his word to us in a way that would bring him glory while bringing you glory at the same time. I'm not living for any movement. I'm not living to be Pentecostal or Baptist or Presbyterian. I want to be a surrendered man. I don't mind you hearing my commitment. I plan to make more changes. It's on my agenda to make more changes. You're not going to be facing the same guy a month from now. I'm going to have the same love. I'm going to have the same appreciation for you. But I want to be like him. We're going to see more miracles because of it. Our doubts and fears are going to dissipate as we trust him with our faith. And if I can't trust him on how to live, I can't trust him to provide all the miraculous. And I want it all. I want it for your kids and your grandkids. I'm not taking this thing in my hands anymore. It's his church. It's his blood. It's his truth. Now, could we just thank him for the evening and the breath to be here? Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for everything. Let your word be embedded in our minds and spirits in the name of Jesus. Shake hands, be friendly. Thank you for your constant patience. An hour and a half in his presence and his word is not too much. Don't you let the devil wear you out